In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we celebrate the life of our Father among the saints, Saint Sava the Sanctified. Saint Sava was born in 439 in Cappadocia to wealthy parents and labored in the caves of the Kedron Valley southeast of Jerusalem in the 5th century. From an early age, Saint Sava was jokingly called a prudent old man because he was different from other children. He was much more serious and much more reserved than his friends. He didn't joke a lot. He was always, you know, praying, those sorts of things. He was a very serious young man. When he grew older, Saint Sava was also known for his great humility. And after he had established his monastery, which was also called, sometimes you'll see it called the Lavra. Lavra, it comes from the Latin from labora, to work, right? A few monks, after he had established his monastery, became quite jealous of him. And they actually got him to leave the monastery that he founded. And he left for 5 years. What's more, similar to another saint that was near to him, even in his life, Saint Eurostimos of the Jordan. Sometimes you'll see his icons. He has a lion next to him, right? They were contemporaries. A demon took on the form of a lion and came to Saint Sava as if he was going to attack him. And Saint Sava, in his humility, simply said in response to the lion, "If you, O demon, have received authority from God to attack me, don't be negligent about it, for I am prepared to be devoured by you according to the will of God. But if you have not received authority from God to attack me, don't trouble yourself, for I'm able to trample upon you by the power of God." So an amazing saint, a very humble saint. This wasn't actually his only encounter with lions. I was reading his life, and he has multiple encounters with lions. I'm just going to read another one because they're kind of funny. Each one's kind of funny. So after he had left the monastery that he founded on account of the jealous monks that had kind of kicked him out, even though he was their superior, for those 5 years he lived in a cave a ways off from the monastery. And he was subject not only, you know, to the scorching heat and the cold of the desert, but also to thieves and also to lions. In fact, the cave that he was dwelling in was the cave that a lion lived in. And during this time, up until the Crusades, lions actually, their range was expanded from Africa into actually Jerusalem. There were lions in Jerusalem up until about the Crusades. So there was a lion in this cave. And so one night the lion was out hunting in the cave, or the saint found the cave and he fell asleep. And he was thankful that he had this cave. And when the lion came back, he saw this saint in his cave, and he started kind of tugging on his garments, trying to get him to leave. He didn't kill him or anything. He was just kind of trying to drag him out. And Saint Sava woke up and kind of just like shook the dust off, and he was like, "Oh, you know," didn't pay any attention to the lion and started doing matins. He started serving Orthros in the cave. At which point the lion, according to his life, just sat down and kind of just prayed matins with him in whatever way lions do that. And stayed that way until he was finished. And then Saint Sava was exhausted. He went back to sleep. And the lion, in the lion's gentleness, kind of gently tugged him out of the cave, tugged him outside of the cave. Saint Sava was cold. He woke up. He approached the lion and essentially said to the lion, "This cave is big enough for the both of us, essentially. Why don't we share it?" And apparently that was good enough for the lion. And so they had this agreement. The lion would pray with Saint Sava. Saint Sava would bless the lion, and the lion would protect Saint Sava from robbers and those sorts of, you know, individuals who came to try and steal from him. That's another funny little interaction between Saint Sava and lions. There's actually other ones as well, but we don't have time for that. The life of Saint Sava, even from these, you know, little interactions with animals, you can kind of see he's a great icon of humility, of one of the early deserts, you know, or one of the early saints in the desert surrounding Jerusalem. And as we heard, if you were listening to the epistle today, the epistle was for Saint Sava. Saint Paul mentions the fruit of the Spirit, all of which apply to this great saint. He was loving towards his brethren. He was joyful even in sorrow. He was peaceful and long-suffering towards the jealous monks that wished evil upon him. And he was kind, good, faithful through all of it. As an ascetic, he was the personification of self-control and meekness. And his hagiography says that he never went to extremes, but was always gentle and temperate in all things. So Saint Sava was, you know, someone we could say truly walked in the Spirit. He was, you know, never vainglorious or envious of anyone. And the same, you know, could be said about Saint Barbara, right, who we celebrated yesterday on Saturday. We celebrated Saint Barbara, the great martyr, on Saturday. The same thing could be said about Saint Nicholas, who we celebrate tomorrow. There's so many amazing saints who we're celebrating in this sort of three-day period. The saints, especially someone like a Saint Sava or Saint Barbara or a Saint Nicholas, were ones who, as Saint Paul said, said today in Galatians, looked or were watchful over themselves. He said, look and be watchful over yourself and bear one another's burdens. And I think St. Paul's epistle reading for today, in its entirety, is very beautiful. It's a very beautiful description of the saints. Saints are individuals who have Christ planted so deeply in their hearts that, you know, from the seed grows the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll notice that it's not fruits, it's fruit, it's singular. All the saints partake of the same fruit of the Spirit. There's one Spirit, and there's one fruit of the Spirit. And we are also called to partake of this fruit. And the fruit is, you know, love, true love, joy, true joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these are the fruit of the Spirit. And all of this comes to a head in the next part of this reading in Galatians, where Paul tells the Galatians that if someone sins, you who are spiritual, he says, should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And the Greek there isn't just gentleness. The Greek there is meekness, actually. And all of this is entwined together, right? The works of the Spirit, correcting, or better yet, restoring. The word there, instead of correcting, it's actually like setting someone's bones in ancient Greek. That was the word that was used. Restoring those who have fallen in a spirit of gentleness or meekness. And all of this is read on the day when we commemorate monastic saints. So that's why we read the epistle that we read today. It was for Saint Sava, a monastic saint. And I was thinking about why this is. I think that the fruit of the Spirit, especially the correcting and meekness part that St. Paul speaks about today, is intrinsically tied to living a saintly life, especially among monastic saints. If you've ever been to a monastery before, if you've ever been around monks or nuns, one thing that you'll notice, it's kind of jarring at first sometimes, they're some of the most, like, they're straight shooters. They're some of the most honest people you'll ever meet, right? There's really no pretense with them. Even if, you know, they're also some of the most gentle people you'll ever meet. But these two things aren't mutually exclusive, right? Meekness, honesty, these are things that you can have within yourself at the same time. And I think it's something that we can all aspire to have within us as well. And we should know, right, that meekness is not weakness, right? That's a nice little rhyme you can tell yourself. And sometimes that's often how we think of it, right? When we think of meekness, we think of we think of someone who's quiet and maybe even soft and blah, blah, blah. That's not what it is at all. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness classically is understood as strength or power under strict control. It is righteousness mixed with an inner humility and patience. This is the word that the famous philosopher Xenophon used to describe wild horses that, after they've been broken in and tamed, still had the strength and the spirit of like a wild stallion. He used the same word that we use for meekness today in Greek. It's also how Plato described when a conquering emperor would come in and take over someone's land, when he would spare the people, not sell them into slavery, and essentially let them go about their lives under his rule, he would describe that emperor as meek. It was power and strength, but control. It wasn't bloodthirsty. It wasn't wrathful, those sorts of things. It was meek. And this is how many of the saints, especially a saint such as Saint Sava the Sanctified, lived their lives, with great meekness. Saint Sava could have very well berated the monks, right, who kicked him out of his own monastery. They were his own monks, right? He probably could have gone to the patriarch. He knew the patriarch very well. The patriarch put him there. And he probably could have gotten them disposed, but he didn't. He had a wisdom and a power that surpassed the wisdom of this world. And so he departed into the desert for 5 years. And commenting on this epistle reading for today, St. John Chrysostom notes how St. Paul tells the Galatians to restore those who have sinned against the church in a spirit of meekness. And he notes that this spirit isn't a feeling of meekness, but that this kind of meekness can only be accomplished through a soul that has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A soul that is righteous, but a righteousness that is bridled, a righteousness that is bridled or restrained by humility. And during this Nativity fast, it is the perfect time to talk about meekness, to think about meekness. The Nativity is all about meekness, right? The meekness of Christ, the meekness of the one who, as St. Paul says in Philippians, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with a God as a thing to be grasped for, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. So the Nativity is all about Christ's meekness. It's about the power of God entering into the very depths of humanity, as St. Justin Popovich says. It's the power of God coming under the bridle of humanity, you could even say. And it's because of this meekness that we can experience God at the deepest levels of our being. It's because of the meekness of Christ that St. Sava or St. Barbara or St. Nicholas can have the very power of God within them and yet remain gentle, humble, lowly, and meek. So when we see the meekness of a St. Sava or St. Barbara or St. Nicholas, may it remind us of Christ's own meekness. May it remind us of the incarnation, the crucifixion, and the death of Christ, which could only take place because Christ was meek, because he emptied himself, the very word and righteousness of God. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant and was born in the likeness of man. Through the prayers of St. Sava the Sanctified, St. Barbara the Great Martyr, St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker, and of all the saints, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.